How tremendously blessed we truly are to have the God-breathed, all-sufficient Word of God. Jesus said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The Word of God is the greatest, most valuable, most precious treasure in the world. It truly is sweeter than honey and much more precious than gold. Isaiah wrote, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. Starting in verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You may be seated. If you want assurance, if you want hope, if you want encouragement, and peace and joy, and the motivation to glorify God, regardless of our circumstances in life, I can think of no better place to turn than Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. When you lose a loved one, if you hear distressing news from the doctor, if you're suffering in any way, if you fear death, if you fear what's going on in the present or what might happen in the future, if your children are not making wise decisions, when people sin against you, when you fear people, when you blow it, and if you doubt God's love, I can think of no better place to turn than Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. These verses will serve you well no matter what comes your way in life. You see, when you pour any possible life circumstance into these verses and you trust God, you will find assurance. You will find hope. You will find peace and joy and the motivation to glorify God regardless of your situation. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, thank you for all the promises in your word that belong to those in Christ, and especially those we'll look at today in Romans chapter 8. Father, my prayer is that everyone in this room who is in Christ will be convinced that nothing can separate them from your love in Christ. And Father, for those in this room who are not yet in Christ, I pray that by your grace they would get in Christ so that they too could have these amazing, wonderful promises that belong to those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you and praise you for your love and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I hope and pray that throughout our study of Romans chapter 8 up to this point, that all of us have become more like Jesus Christ, both individually and corporately as a church. We began Romans chapter 8 in verse 1, I should say, with an overwhelming, an incredible, an undeserved, an amazing promise given by God to those who are in Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 8 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And today, we're going to end our study of Romans chapter 8 with another overwhelming, incredible, undeserved, and amazing promise given to us in verse 39. Verse 39 says that nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How grateful, how content, how worshipful, and how humble those of us in Christ should be in light of these promises. Now notice very, very carefully that the promises given in verse 1 and in verse 39 are only, and I repeat, they are only for those who are in Christ. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. The promises of God are only true because of who Jesus is, that he is God and man, because he died on the cross and he was raised from the dead. The promises are yes in Christ, and these promises only belong to those who are in Christ. To be in Christ means to be spiritually united to Christ through faith. Those in Christ are those who desire to follow Jesus as their Lord, who believe in their heart that he is who he claimed to be, the God-man. He is fully God. He is fully man. And they believe he died on the cross for their sins and that he was raised from the dead. Now, those who are not in Christ are in Adam. We all come into this world born in Adam. Those in Adam are not spiritually united to Christ. They are dead spiritually. That's why Jesus said, if anyone wants to enter into the kingdom of heaven, he must be born again, which means to be born spiritually. Theologian John Murray wrote, union with Christ is the central truth of the entire doctrine of salvation. So when it comes to salvation, everything is wrapped up in being united to Christ. If you are not in Christ, I implore you to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Trust him as your Lord and Savior today, and then all these promises will also belong to you. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. This morning, we're going to walk through verses 35 through 39 of chapter 8 to gaze upon God's glory and to focus on the promises that belong to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, the context of verses 35 through 39 follows directly upon the glorious promises in verses 28 through 34, which in turn follows directly upon the context of suffering in verses 18 through 27. In verse 18, if you remember, we saw that Paul said that we should not consider our present sufferings as even worth comparing with the glory that will one day be revealed in us. This biblical mindset of focusing on the glory of God rather than on our circumstances is only possible when we truly believe and understand that we deserve nothing but God's wrath. And yet, if we're in Christ, God has lavished his love and his grace and his mercy upon us. If we think we deserve anything from God, we will never see the trials of life and our suffering from God's perspective, and we will never please and glorify him in the midst of suffering. In verses 28 through 34, Paul built on one promise after another. In verse 28, we're told that God is always in control, and he is always good, and he is always working everything to good in the lives of those whom he has called to salvation. Verse 29 tells us what the good promised in verse 28 is. God promises that he's always working in the lives of those who belong to him to make them more like Jesus Christ, which is our greatest good. Verse 30 promises that those whom God has called, he will glorify. There is an unbroken chain from predestination to glorification. Those in Christ are eternally secure. Those in Christ persevere in the faith because God preserves them. We're told in very simple, clear language in Jude that we are kept by Christ. And I can tell you that if we were not kept by Christ, we would have been gone a long time ago. Verse 31 tells us that God is for us in Christ. So who can be against us? Now, God does not tell us that he's for us so that we will think great things about ourselves. Okay? He's not into the self-esteem program. God tells us that he is for us so that we will think great things about him and be motivated to live to please him and glorify him. Verse 32 tells us that in light of the fact that God did not spare his own son, but gave him to die for our sins, he will not withhold anything from us that will glorify him and that is for our good. Verse 33 tells us that no one can bring any charge of condemnation against those who are in Christ. Why? Because God has called them and he has justified them. Who is going to successfully oppose the verdict of the perfect judge of the universe? In verse 34, we're promised that Jesus, who died for our sins and who was raised from the dead, is right now at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for us. He's already taken away our sins, and he's already credited Jesus' perfect life to our account. Therefore, there truly is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, as we come to verse 35, we get very, very close to the top of the mountain where we can look down at all of life and everything that happens in life from God's perspective. Look with me at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Now, Paul's not asking here a question as if he does not know the answer. Paul does not think that any of these things can separate him from the love of God in Christ. What Paul is saying is this. Look, in light of all the promises just given in verses 20 through 34 and everything written in the entire book of Romans up to this point, who or what is going to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? It is absolutely impossible for anyone or anything to separate us from God's love if we are in Christ. When we look seriously at the cross of Jesus Christ, can we really think that someone or something can separate us from God's love? Yet some of you are going through some really, really difficult stuff right now. And you may be tempted to think, Paul, you just don't understand what I'm going through. But Paul does understand. And more importantly, God understands. This is God's word. These are God's promises. And God cannot change, and he does not lie. God, who knows everything about your life, breathed out these words that Paul wrote. And Paul wrote these words with confidence because the Apostle Paul went through some really, really bad, horrible, and difficult stuff. Let's look at some of the things Paul went through in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30. He wrote, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. That's quite a resume of suffering. In spite of all the extremely difficult things that Paul went through, what did he write with confidence? He wrote this: Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? Paul says, and you can take this to the bank, if you are in Christ Jesus, there is nothing and no one who can separate you from the love of God. Brothers and sisters, we can be convinced that trouble, that hardship, that persecution, that famine, that nakedness, that danger, or sword, or anything else, none of it can separate us from the love of God. We must trust this promise. We must anchor it deep down in our hearts, because if we're not suffering right now, it's going to come. Jesus promised that we will have trouble in this life. Look with me at verse 36. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now, verse 36 is a quote from Psalm 44:22 in the Old Testament. And here we see that suffering has always been a part of life for the believer. Philippians 1:29 says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. We see in this verse that both faith and suffering are gifts from God. Now, how in the world can suffering be a gift from God? Suffering is a gift because if we trust God in the midst of our suffering, we will become more like Jesus Christ. And that is our greatest good in life. Our greatest good in life is not comfort. It's not a life free of trouble and conflict. It's becoming more like Jesus. It's so easy to praise God and to be thankful when things are going smoothly. However, what about when things aren't going so well? Do we seek to please God and glorify God then? We do not please God. We do not glorify God when we focus on our circumstances rather than the God who is above, in control of, and who has even ordained our circumstances for his glory. The Bible never, ever promises an easy life to a believer. Yes, when we obey God, we will always prosper spiritually. However, there is no promise of physical health. There is no promise of material wealth, and there is no promise of an easy, comfortable, conflict-free life. I hope and I pray that you have not been deceived by the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel was not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, come on. He didn't have a place to lay his head. The prosperity gospel was not the gospel of the early church, and it's not the gospel of today. It's a gospel made up of lies masquerading by the enemy, the devil, masquerading as truth. Our life does not have to be comfortable to have peace and joy. Look with me at Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace when life is perfect. No. As you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible commands us to give thanks in all circumstances and to be joyful always. Now, does this mean we have to be thankful for suffering and trials in and of themselves? No. However, we can be thankful for the promises of God in the midst of our suffering. And we can be thankful that he's going to make us more like Jesus through that. Life can be incredibly difficult at times. However, we do not have to live under our circumstances. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:10. And there is no way he could have said this if he was not convinced of God's love. He said, "That is why for Christ's sake, get this, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong." Paul saw suffering as something that can be delighted in if we trust God's promises and become more like Christ in the midst of it. Look at what he triumphantly says in verse 37. "No, in all these things, all of them, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." It does not sound to me like Paul is living under his circumstances. He's looking down at the trials of life from God's perspective. Paul's telling us to focus on God's amazing love, not our circumstances. And when we focus on him who loves us, we will be more than conquerors. And we will please and we will glorify God even in our suffering. Being more than a conqueror is more than not getting fearful and angry in our circumstances. Being more than a conqueror is having joy and peace in the midst of our circumstances. Being more than a conqueror is more than not taking revenge. Being more than a conqueror is overcoming evil with good and praying for those who sin against us. Our focus must be on the fact that no one and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Our focus must be on the promise that God is always good, and he's always working all things to good, and that greater good is to become more like Christ. Our focus must be on the promise that God is for us according to his holy will. We need to remember that our present sufferings, no matter how hard they are not worth comparing with the glory that will one day be revealed in us. When we live by faith in God's promises, we will be more than conquerors. We will not be living under the circumstances. We will be standing upon them as conquerors by faith in God's promises and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we start to doubt God's love, may we look at the cross, where once and for all God proved his love and his goodness. Verses 28 to 37. Build on one promise after another until Paul reaches the pinnacle, the mountaintop, the apex with verses 38 through 39. Look with me at verses 38 through 39. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What an overwhelming, incredible, undeserved, and amazing promise God has given to those who are in Christ. If you want assurance, if you want encouragement, if you want hope, if you want peace and joy in the midst of difficult times, and you want to glorify God in your circumstances, it does not get any better than this. Paul wrote, "I'm convinced." He was utterly convinced that nothing and no one could separate him from God's love. Verse 38 says, "Death cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." Why not? Because if we're in Christ, death actually brings us into the physical presence in the amazing perfect love of God in a way that we could only imagine. In heaven, there will never be a time when we doubt God's love. We'll always be convinced of it. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." Be convinced that death cannot separate you from the love of God in Christ. Verse 38 says, "Life cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ." Why not? Because God, who is love, has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. And this God who is love and who has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us has promised to work out everything in life to good. And that good is to make us more like Christ, and that is our greatest good. We have to believe that. A couple of years ago, my wife, Dorinda, called me here at the office to tell me the results from the doctor that she had cancer. And my heart sunk. But then my heart was flooded with God's love as I poured our life circumstance into these verses, that nothing, including my wife having cancer, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Be convinced that nothing in life can separate you from the love of God if you're in Christ. Verse 38 says, angels cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Why not? Because we're told in Hebrews 1:14 that angels are ministering spirits sent by God to serve those who will inherit salvation. God, who is perfect love, sends his angels to minister to us in his love. Angels cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Verse 30 says that demons cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Why not? Well, read Job chapters 1 and 2, and you'll see that demons and the devil of hell himself cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. If the devil inflicts pain into your life, know that it will only come because of God's greater and holy purposes. God, who is holy, who is just, who is sovereign, who is all-wise and all-loving, he's not going to let anything come into your life that doesn't find its ultimate purposes in his goodness. And remember, Satan's evil plan and wicked plan to murder Jesus, remember that behind that was God's plan that he ordained from the foundation of the earth that Jesus Christ would die for the sins of the world. Be convinced that demons and the devil of hell himself cannot separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 38 says, the present cannot separate us from the love of God. Why not? Because God, who is always good, was in control of everything in the past, and he is in control of everything in the present. He is love, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. So the present cannot separate us from the love of God. Verse 38 says the future cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Why not? Because whatever comes our way in life was ordained before the foundation of the world for God's glory. And it's for our good, not our harm. We must remember verses 20 and 29 that God is always good. He's always in control. He's always working all things to good, and that good is to make us more like Christ. Be convinced that the future cannot separate you from the love of God in Christ. Verse 38 says, no power can separate us from the love of God. Why not? Because God is all-powerful. He is greater than all. And anyone or anything that has any power at all, it was granted to them by God for his purposes. Be convinced that no power can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Verse 39 says, height nor depth can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Why not? Psalm 139, 7 through 8 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Psalm 139 makes it crystal clear that we cannot escape the presence of God. There's no place, no matter how high or how low, where he is not. God is spirit. God is love. God is everywhere present. So it only stands to reason that no height, no depth can separate us from the love of God. Be convinced. And just in case, in our pride, we would think that there's something else that might possibly separate us from God's love. Look what verse 39 says at the end. Nor anything else in all creation, meaning no one and nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Why not? In John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Those who are in Christ are eternally secure in God's love, in the omnipotent Father's hands. God has given those in Christ as a gift to Jesus. He's not going to take those gifts from his Son. Can anyone snatch us out of the hand of the one who spoke the world into existence? Paul plainly tells us that nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love. What an overwhelming, an incredible, an undeserved, an amazing promise God has given to those who are in Christ Jesus. You can pour any possible past, present, or future circumstances into these verses. Whoever or whatever it is, if you're in Christ, it cannot separate you from God's love. When you face a trial of any kind, turn to these verses. Pour your specific life circumstances in them, and then be convinced that whatever it is, it cannot separate you from God's love. Remember all that Paul went through in 2 Corinthians 11, and yet he is the one who wrote, "I am convinced." And if you still doubt, look at the cross, where God once and forever proved his goodness in his unfailing, perfect love. God cannot lie, and he does not change. His promises are eternal. When we trust and obey God in the good times and in the difficult times, God gets the glory, and we experience life to the full. Let us pray. Holy Father, thank you so much for your promises. Father, help us to truly be convinced of them. Help us to not just say we believe them, not just say we're convinced, but that our lives would demonstrate that, Father. Help us to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. Help us to be a light to this world, to those who have no hope, who do not have these promises, Lord. Help us to love them enough to share the gospel with them, that they can have hope, both in eternity and in the here and now, through Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen.